I'm Karen Chapman-Novakowski. I'm with the Military Families Learning Network in the Nutrition and Wellness team. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Anna Arthur, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Food Science and Human Nutrition at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. She's also the director of Oncology Nutrition Services at the Cancer Center Carr Foundation Hospital in Urbana, and she was our recent webinar speaker. Thanks for talking with me today, Anna.
You're quite welcome.
So I just have a few other questions. The first one, with anorexia being the number one challenge, could you comment on the use of anti-anorexia medications?
Sure. So two of the most commonly used FDA-approved drugs for disease-related anorexia are Megace and Marinol. Megestrol acetate, or Megace, is a progesterone that has been shown to modestly improve appetite and weight status in cancer patients with anorexia. However, it is associated with some undesirable side effects, like the suppression of some endocrine functions, as well as thromboembolism. Marinol, on the other hand, is a cannabinoid that has been shown to significantly increase appetite in patients with AIDS, but not necessarily in those with cancer. There are several other pharmacologic agents for the treatment of cachexia that are currently under investigation, such as cyclooxygenase inhibitors and the hunger-stimulating peptide ghrelin. But in general, no widely approved drug for the treatment of cachexia is available.
Good to know. So my other question has to do with cachexia. And as lean body mass declines, as you were describing, does physical activity help with this at all?
That's a really great question. Yes, as lean body mass declines with cachexia, there is evidence that when combined with appropriate nutritional interventions, low impact resistance exercise in cancer patients leads to improvements in quality of life, improvements in muscle strength and lean muscle mass, and that it may even increase survival. The potential benefits of low impact physical activity in cancer patients remains an ongoing area of research. And I know of several clinical trials currently underway to further determine the optimal amount and type of physical activity for different subpopulations of cancer patients. It is important to remember that resistance training should probably be done initially under the guidance of a professional, since adjustments may have to be made depending on if the patient has had a recent surgery, maybe has a feeding tube, or has had a port placed.
That's so good to know, because I am a big advocate of physical activity, and I think it helps everything, including my mental outlook. One last question. You were talking about how supplements are not recommended and for cancer patients, and they may not help. But are there any in particular that could be harmful that we need to be aware of?
That's another really great question. So there is evidence from placebo-controlled clinical trials suggesting that high-dose antioxidant supplementation in particular may be dangerous in terms of cancer outcomes. One of the most famous studies, the ATBC trial, found that healthy male smokers randomized to receive a high-dose beta-carotene and alpha-tocopherol supplement had a higher risk of developing lung cancer than those receiving placebo. Results from smaller clinical trials have suggested that high-dose antioxidant supplements, again like beta-carotene and tocopherol, may actually interfere with the efficacy of radiation or chemotherapy and lead to higher cancer mortality. In general, I tend to discourage my cancer patients to take any dietary supplements unless they have a biochemically verified nutrient deficiency, especially during active treatment.
That also is really good information for us to remember. Anna, thanks for speaking with me today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.